Real Ghost Stories Online.
Dreams can be powerful things. They can sometimes just be scary as hell and really make you think and make you wonder and freak you out. And that's all there is to it. It's just our minds running the ways that they go. And end of story. In other cases, it can connect back to reality. And that's where it gets really interesting. Man, sometimes terrifying. Because sometimes the information that can come to us in dreams should not have any logical way of getting there. But it does. We don't know why or how, but it does. In our next story, we hear of just such a case. A woman having some terrifying dreams. Only to find out that they are more than just dreams. They do connect back to reality. As to why, that may still be up in the air. But it connects nonetheless. Take a listen. When I was a teenager living in rural Kansas near one of the Civil War battlefields throughout my childhood, I had been plagued with ghostly visits and nightmares of drowning in a river. One night I had an awful nightmare. This one was particularly disturbing because I kept seeing myself dead in bloody water of a bathtub. I could smell death, and I was consumed by fear because this seemed all too real. Just then, I was gently shaken awake. When I woke, I sat up in bed, relieved that I was still alive. No one was there. I shook it off and went back to sleep. A while later, I continued to have this ominous dream. Only this time I saw my body lying in a bathtub full of blood in my grandparents' bathroom. Their house is just down the road from me. Again, I was awakened from the horrific scene in the same gentle yet urgent manner, but there was no one there. At this time, I thought I had merely imagined the feeling of being shaken awake, but I was too tired contemplated, so I went back to sleep. Once again, I resumed the torment of dreaming my own death in a bloody bathtub. This time, the dream had a change of location to my ex-boyfriend's bathroom. There were demons present in the dream this time. I became really frightened and found myself in this upstairs bedroom. I imagine seeking counseling from him. After scanning the room, I found that he was not there. However, I did stay long enough to take note that he had rearranged his room. It was rather tidy, and I noticed his drawing board was in a different location, prepped with notebook paper that had safety pins in each corner of the paper. For the last time, someone woke me up, this time with even more urgency. As soon as I opened my eyes, an attractive young man was hovering parallel to my body about 2 feet above me. I froze. He was glowing white with distinct features, but he had no body, only a fading torso. He was looking at me really intensely. His mouth was moving in an obvious attempt to communicate with me, as if he was trying to desperately give me a message from beyond the grave. My heart was pounding, and when I was finally able to move out of my frozen state after what seemed like at least a minute, I rolled out of bed and ran into my mother's room. After relaying the frantically horrifying experience to her, she just said, "Amy, go back to bed." I did not return to my room that night, needless to say. I slept in my 6-year-old brother's room instead. The story does not end there. The next morning, I had to go to a play practice at school, and during the break, my female cast members and I went to the girls' room to freshen up. While I was washing my hands, a rather obnoxious girl came bolting into the bathroom, hysterically shouting, "I see a ghost! I saw a ghost!" She said that it was down the hallway from the theater and identified the apparition as being a young male. I think I turned white. I did not utter a word to anyone about my ghostly visit the night before. Quickly, I exited the girls' room, went to the commons area to make a quick phone call to my ex-boyfriend to make sure he was still alive. We'd not spoken to nor seen each other for 2 weeks. I was a little worried at this point that he might be deceased. The ghostly man in my room had resembled my ex-beau, but I had not thought of the possibility that it could actually have been him from the grave, giving me a visit at night. I hastily shoved a quarter into the payphone, dialed his number. I was relieved to hear his voice when he answered. He was indeed still breathing, and his blood was still pumping through his veins. I described the whole creepy incident to him, even the part about me visiting his room in the night. He remained silent, listening to my every word. When I finished telling him everything, he said that he did clean his room and rearrange some things as I described them. Also, he noted that his drawing board was where I had said it was in the dream, only there was drawing paper, not notebook paper, and paper clips at the corners of the board, not safety pins. He, however, did go on to share with me some of the details about what he had been drawing. He described to me the image of the man that he had drawn on the board. The very board that was arranged in an area in his room as I had seen it in my dream. And the image on the board, and the image that he had sketched, was that of the man from my dream.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.